Just want to take a few minutes. Take your Bibles, please, and turn, if you would, to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Just going to read the last verse of 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Verse 18. Paul writes to the church at Corinth, "But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." Heavenly Father, speak to us as you have already. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. You think your family has relationship problems? Give this a try. Here is a marriage situation. When 76-year-old Bill Baker of London married Edna Harvey, she happened to be his granddaughter's husband's mother. Let that sink in. According to Bill Baker's granddaughter, Lynn, quote, "My mother-in-law is now my step-grandmother. My grandfather is now my stepfather-in-law. My mom is my sister-in-law, and my brother is my nephew. But even crazier is that I'm now married to my uncle, and my own children are my cousins." Now, I'm afraid that the guys up in the upstairs, they're going to be trying to figure that out for the rest of the service. Oh, boy. Wanted to just briefly talk to you about relationships. I got to thinking about this as we were considering Wayne and what he had gone through. I praise God for the relationships the Lord has given us. You stop and think about from the very beginning how God has done them. If you go to Genesis chapter 1, you hear this in verse 26. There is the relationship within the Creator. And God said, "Let us." There's the Trinity. And then there's the Creator. "Make man in our own image." And then with each other, as far as man, "Let them." And then with the creation, "have dominion over." So we have a relationship with God, with each other, with the world that God has put us in. God is about relationships. He said in Genesis 2:18, "And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an help meet for him." Relationship. And from that relationship right there, we have continued. There's husband and wife, father and son or daughter, mother and son or daughter, brothers and sisters, cousins, grandparents, friends and neighbors, in-laws and outlaws. We've got them. I rejoice. I did a very brief video this morning on Facebook. Hey, everybody, come to church. If you're not coming here, make sure you're there. And up popped the daughter of a cousin of mine that lives back east. And I encouraged her and said, "Hey, praise God. Make sure you know the Lord," et cetera, et cetera. She goes, "Oh yeah, Jesus is my Savior. So is my mom, your cousin. She knows the Lord, and so does my sister." I said, "Man, my day is made. Praise God." I'd have to go in depth in that, but I'm not going to take the time right now. But you know, Satan came along, and he started to destroy relationships. He destroyed the relationship that we had with the Creator, with our God. He did that in the Garden of Eden. And it got to the point down the road where pretty soon we realized we had murders, we had hatred. And no wonder, even today, these things are so important. Through the Apostle Paul, the Lord tells us this: "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another." You see, all this, it's relationship. Be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. Did you hear that? Even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. He's telling us about relationships, and he reminds us, oh, by the way, I loved you so much, I sent my son to die for you, and I have forgiven you. Come to me. I have forgiven you your sin. That's relationship. Colossians chapter 3, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another, even if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Again, that's relationship. You have been swimming in relationship even this morning. And sometimes we just don't realize it. We heard about a very special relationship that a son had with his father, and he can't wait to see his father in heaven. Why can he look forward to heaven? Because of the relationship with Jesus Christ. Upon reading this, I would say that relationships are pretty important to God. But you know, sometimes relationships suffer, don't they? This last week, I had an opportunity to meet with a young man, and we just had a good time talking. You can always have a good time talking when you're having something like Chick-fil-A or In-N-Out Burger. But I asked him about his generation, about his generation. He's a teenager. I asked him about teenagers today. What he told me broke my heart. Now, I'm not going to tell you everything that he said, but he said, you know, most of them are discouraged, despondent, or worse. Now think about that. Teenagers today. He said there's too many of them, there's so many of them that get beaten up by their parents. One in particular is beat by his dad on a regular basis. When the dad started beating the mom, he tried to stop it, and then the mom beat him for beating on his dad. That's not even funny. In fact, you hear this kind of thing, and it gets downright disgusting. I said, what's their biggest need? And this is it. To be loved and not to be judged unjustly. You know, I can remember as a teenager trying to find out what's right, what's wrong. And I didn't think straight. At 66, I might still not think straight on some things. You can laugh, but that's your problem too. But they're trying to find their way along, and here comes an adult and takes a shot right across the bow of their lives. That's drop dead wrong. I remember our missionary, Tom Gentry, that we supported. He was in Romania. Wonderful man of God. But when he was a teenager, he was a hippie. He was there, you know, he was there protesting the Vietnam War, the whole bit. And he said, you know, fundamental Baptists blew it back then. There were some idiots out there, like there are some today. There are some out there that they're absolute Marxists. They want to bring this nation down. But some, they really do. When they hear Black Lives Matter, they just saying, please, can we just love each other? Can we help people? I understand that. I'm not going to be here and argue that. But he's right. People get judged. Young people get judged. And you know, we just have to stop and say, you know what? We've got some relationships we've got to be careful with. I got to looking at the scripture, and I'm thinking specifically about, for, I started focusing on the Lord Jesus Christ and His relationship with His Heavenly Father. I was thinking about Wayne, too. And I boiled it down to four things. First of all, time cherished. Listen to this. John 17, "And now, O Father, glorify Thou me with Thine own self, with the glory which I had with Thee before the world was." You know, God the Son had a wonderful relationship with God the Father. No, we don't understand all that. We've got a God, three in one. Can I explain that? No, I can't. Neither can you. Don't make an idiot of yourself trying to. Let's rejoice in it. God the Holy Spirit is here indwelling us. God the Son will never leave us or forsake us. And God the Father so loved us, He sent His Son. Let's praise God for that. Amen? The Lord would go off and He would continue at times praying all night in prayer. You know, time is one of the most valuable things that we can give a family member or a friend. It really is. There was a saying going around not too long ago. It said, well, it's not the quantity of the time, it's the quality of the time. You need both. You need both. There's time cherished, but there's also love shared. John chapter 14, verse 21, Jesus said, "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him." Now, we're going to be going back to that idea in just a little bit. But listen to this. John 17, 23. "I in them," Jesus was praying, "and thou in me, that they may be made perfect, complete, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me," Jesus saying this to the Father, "and hast loved them as thou hast loved me." Now, did you hear that? Do you realize that God the Father loves us with the same love that He loves God the Son with? That's stunning. I mean, to park on that. And again, we're going to be going back to something that to me is an absolute thrill, but it's going to be at the end of the message. We'll be there soon enough. But this love that is shared. Ephesians 3, "That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in that love may be able to comprehend," because of that love, be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge. Why? "That ye might be filled with all the fullness of God." Right now, today, right here. I'm ashamed. I think of truths that are found in this book. I haven't plunged the depths of them yet. I mean, I look at it, I study it, I praise God. But even in the study of doing this message, I mean, I found myself just sitting there going, "Oh my soul, I can't believe that. I've read it hundreds of times before." God says, "Let me show you a little bit more about this." I love this, what God has given us. That love that is shared, the preciousness of the relationship, so that we can look to the world and we can say, "You know what? I've been young and now I'm old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread." Why? Because of God's love. And then also he mentioned a heritage established. Listen to Romans chapter 8, verse 16. "The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Like Wayne is his father's son, we are the children of God." What does that mean? Wayne carries a name. We do too. But there's more. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. You know, I don't like pain. Pain hurts. Is there anybody here that you like getting a shot? If you do, we've got a dear brother here that is a great counselor. You need to talk to him. I don't like pain. But because of the grace of God, even if there is a time when we truly start suffering for his name's sake, and there will be those, there already are, but if we find ourselves in times where we think, oh my soul, what's going on? We're also going to find this, our God is there. That's the heritage of the saints. What should we do with the relationships that we have right now? First of all, we need to guard them against the enemy. We've already talked about John 15:13. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Let's lay down our lives in prayer and in support. Guard them. Listen, Satan is out to destroy your relationships. And you might have jumped into it hook, line, and sinker. All of a sudden there's difficulty in a relationship. You have the power, you have the ability to go to God, seek His way, ask His forgiveness, and get it right. And get it right. Proverbs 27:6. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. I would rather have a dear friend that loves me come to me and say, you know what, Brother Rogers, you better get this made right, than somebody would come up and just try to talk me into thinking I'm right on whatever it is when the fact of the matter is I'm wrong. That's not good. That's not good. Next, keep them biblical. You okay? All right. Keep them biblical. A husband and a wife relationship is made up of a man and woman. Period. That's not hate. That's God's way. It's not man and man, and it's not two people living together unmarried. It is man and woman coming together in a marriage relationship. There's so many others when it comes to, again, keeping them biblical. Keep separation where it needs to be. And then rejoice in the ones that God has given you. Again, the Lord said in John 13, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples. How? If ye have love one toward another. There are people that are establishing a relationship, it almost seems like, bent on destruction. It's interesting how it is that people can come together and why they come together. It's not right. The Bible says, man spoke, he says, I'm a companion of all them that fear thee. That's the kind of relationship to have. That's the kind of relationship that you guard. Proverbs 17, a friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. And then Proverbs 18:22, whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtain favor of the Lord. Praise God for that relationship. Psalm 127, lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. Praise God for that relationship. And now here's my favorite. Proverbs 17:6. Children's children are the crown of old geezers. Now the Bible says men there, but in the Hebrew it means geezer. and the glory of children are their fathers. But I just want to close with this. Go back, if you would, to 2 Corinthians 3. I want to show you the greatest. This is what I wanted to begin and end on. When it comes to relationships, God has given us the most precious. There is salvation, but it's so much deeper. Look again at verse 18. He says, "But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." Now look at this. Think about this. Christian, what is God's desire for you? He wants Christ in you. Not just for salvation. When He sees you, He wants to see His Son. And He has made it possible to see His Son. Now please, let's not let this slip by. I was walking down, this is years ago, this is 20, 25 years ago. I'm walking down in front of a building, and it's all glass. And as I'm walking across, I can see my reflection, and I looked as I was walking. And all of a sudden, I thought, oh my soul, I even walk like Him. I'm seeing my dad. I'm walking like Him. And I'm not purposing to do it. It's just coming because He's my dad. We have the opportunity in opening our Bibles and seeing Jesus Christ. And as we meditate and absorb what He has taught, when we gaze at His character, guess what's happening? We're becoming like Christ. Now, can I warn you? If you spend more time on social media, bringing in all the anger and the hate and the bitterness and the conspiracy theories and all that, that's what you're going to reflect. That's not what this nation needs. This nation needs Jesus. Amen? How is this nation going to see Jesus? If they don't go to church on Sunday and you work with them on Monday, will they see Jesus? If they watch the news on Monday and then they see you on Tuesday, will they see the same thing on you that they saw in the news? Or will they see Jesus? I read that and I was just, I don't know, you know how something can strike you fresh? It was just stunning. I can come to my Bible. I can open up God's Word. I can yield to His Spirit. And by the study of Him and embracing Him, God does His work. You want to be happy? Let me ask you, was joy something that you could find in Jesus? Then study Jesus. You want to have peace in your heart? Let me ask you, was Jesus the Prince of Peace? Is He the Prince of Peace? Then study Jesus. You want to have hope? Jesus is our hope. Study Jesus. If you want to have righteousness, if you want victory over sin, if you want to be a help to others, Jesus was all that and so much more. Study Him. Don't meditate on the irritations of life. Study Him. Don't meditate on how things are going wrong. He who is right is here, and He now sits at the right hand of God interceding for us. The answer to this world's problems is not a movement. It's the Messiah. Study Him. Share Him. There was a young man that was brought to Christ yesterday on visitation. That's what's needed. People heard the gospel. That's what's needed. People were encouraged with a loved one that was dying. That's what's needed. Prayer was taken. That's what's needed. Four of us for 2 hours right here praying Friday morning for this nation, for ourselves. That's what's needed. You being an encouragement to others, meditating on Him, that's what's needed. How does it come? Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Of this verse, Spurgeon said this, quote, "Ours is to possess a spiritual faith which looks into the inner truth, whose brightness is too great for unregenerate eyes. The Spirit of the Lord has brought us near to God, opened our purblind eyes," that means nearly blind, dim-sighted, "and given us to see the character of the invisible God and to become partakers of it." We gaze at His character. We embrace His character. We absorb His character. And we become partakers of His character. That's what takes place. That's the answer to our nation. We have people that are embracing the saddest of movements. People bragging about how they are Marxists. And that's what they want to bring to this country. Well, there are people that are doing that because they honestly think that is the answer. And they're out there telling people. What are we out telling? What are we sharing? He wants to change us from glory to glory. Are we allowing that? Let's pray.